So you're going to have to hang on to your hat here, because we are heading for the Matrix. We are hazarding the rabbit hole. We are winding the grandfather clock of the galaxy back and back and back and back to a time before all time, before quarks burst or stars blew, back and back and back to a time when there was nothing but God. Nothing but a big sea of God. Think of it, a sea of God and with no shore. It was God as far as the eye could see. It was God stretching out in every direction. It was God going on and on forever. And God had it good. God could kick back, and God could glory in her smooth, unruffled godhood. God could conjure a pink cocktail and sip, unperturbed, eon in and eon out. Yes, God had it very good. So it was a very strange turn of things when God stuck a stop into the swells of her hugeness. It was a strange turn of things when God held back all the rushes of her being. It was a strange turn of things when God gathered herself in, all close and taut, as if she had been but wash, hung out, just billowing on the breeze. It was a strange turn of things when God stepped back from being everything, when God made space for something else, when God made room beyond God. And in this stepping back and making space and making room, when into the void that opened up there, into that brand new crater hole of nothingness, she spoke. God spoke. And God's words, "Let there be." God's words, they bounded from everlasting to everlasting, and they rang out in the hollows of eternity, such that molecule and microbe and matter, land and light, particle and plant, animal and atom, a cosmos, the creation, such that all of it came in cascades and in cartwheels, came into existence. When God said, "Let there be," everything changed. Everything changed. Because before God said, "Let there be," God was everything, was it, was all alone, was set off from nothing else at all. God could sprawl out anywhere. God could stretch into every place. God could spill over into all cracks and crannies without cramping. God didn't need to share toys. God didn't need to share time or space. God didn't need to share herself. But God decided that she wouldn't be just God, just the stuffing of infinity, wouldn't be just God, a great ocean of holiness without horizon. No, this deity who was everything deigned to become a little less than everything, to live without the extra leg room, so that the very first small something could sprout. Let there be. Isn't there a lightness and a generosity and a grace to God's bidding? Isn't there an open-endedness to God's beckoning? Be whatever you will be, young universe. Become whatever you will become. Moon rock, or mitochondria, or mastodon. I will stand back some, and I will not smother or suffocate or subsume you back into my sameness. You will blossom into a precious, wild thing, unique and perfect in its kind. God decided that she would be God to a world, that she would brave a beautiful new relationship as creator to a creation distinct from and different from her own self. God chose to take on the work and the joy and the disappointment of a real relationship with a world so fragile in its freestandingness and in its freedom. God chose to take on all the constraints of a commitment because God would not go on being God without this world. Years came and went now, many more millions of them than I'm prepared to imagine. Time passed. And you could say that the honeymoon had ended. For you see, the creation was a feeble island, was afloat in far waters, was out in between God and great void. It was a spectacular and curious equipoise, a something tottering halfway between God, the everything, on the one side, and then this inky, deep nothingness on the other. God had made a Mars landing into this nothingness, had planted a colony of existence in what had only been but barren emptiness before. And God pumped creation with life, kept creation going, but the nothingness would lash and break against the world's moorings. The nothingness would lick at creation even still. The nothingness unleashed itself on the little world. It loosed chance and fortune to tear at the edges of meaning and order. The nothingness sent decay and disaster and death trawling to terrorize. And the creation evolved ways of coping. The creation evolved ways to skirt its own undoing. The creation evolved ways to save itself. Systems and forces evolved. And the gist was that we are not all in this together. The gist was that only some of us will survive. The gist was that only, in fact, the very strongest will survive. Only the fit get to finish. And the weakest genes, the weakest links, the weakest ones will be thrown under the bus, will be sacrificed for sake of the whole. But God decided that she would not be God only of the strong. God decided that she would not be the God only of the ladder climbers and of the laurel crowned. God decided that she would be the God not only of those whose DNA was pay dirt or whose pockets were lined. God decided that she would be God to the weak and to the poor and to the desperate and to the despised. And so God threw in her hat with the wretched of the earth. And as God had shrunk, had contracted, as God had made space, made room, had become less than what God was, and allowed a creation to sprout and to be, once again, God grew smaller. God squeezed into skin, several sizes too small. God ducked when crossing creation's doorframe. And God went to squat in the far forgotten places. God went to the occupied back country of the Roman Empire. God went as a refugee among refugees, went to seek out sick peasants, went to women who would be killed to cover up men's crimes. God in Jesus Christ stooped down to be born in a dung heap of a barn. God in Jesus Christ stooped down to scoop up mud and make salve, to smear it on a man's unseeing eyes. God in Jesus Christ stooped down to draw in the dirt, to draw a line in the sand, lest an innocent, defenseless woman be stoned. God stooped down to take towel and wash basin and bow at the feet of his friends. God in Jesus Christ stooped down to the grave. God in Jesus Christ stooped down to the lowest ones and the lonely and to the unlovely and to the least. Because God would not go on being God without them. But still God was not content. Not content to be God only for the poorest of ages past. What God needed was a way to slide under the radar of the powers of nothingness that had put Jesus Christ down. What God needed was a way to escape death's detention and downsize to avoid detection and launch a surprise defection. What God needed was a trim, was to be made over, to be more and more and more and more tiny, infinitesimal. What God needed was to shave off everything, to become stark, invisible spirit, so that she could waft and work from within stuff, all stuff, so that henceforth, even though they see just water and bread and wine, even though they see just pen and ink on silky gold line pages, even though they see just an odd gaggle of young and old and rich and poor and trans and gay and straight, what God's people would see is the church, is the scripture, a sacrament. God wanted to look and feel and smell and taste like nothing at all, like nothing out of the ordinary, so that hour by day, by week, by month, by year, by decade, by century, by millennium, they wouldn't see God coming. God decided that she would be smaller still, that she would make herself disappear. God decided that she would take up no space at all, that she would become the secret guest of unsuspecting material stuff. God decided that she would be a spirit who rides under the years God decided that she would be a spirit who percolates imperceptibly. God decided that she would be a spirit who could penetrate stony things without prying. God decided that she would make a home in even hard and hunkered shut human hearts. God decided that she would make herself small. She would make herself an invisible spirit and slip inside you and whisper in your conscience and tease you in your dreams and tickle and prickle and love you behind your back, because God would not go on being God without you.